Thank you, my good brother. And again, it is a privilege to speak to you, the Word of the Living God. And we hope you have your Bibles in John Gospel in chapter 1. As we approach the month of December, I have selected for 29 years of ministry of this church to concentrate on Christ Jesus every year on the month of December. And this is no exception. And we're going to see Jesus from John's point of view, God's willing, the coming Sunday from Mark's point of view, then from Luke's point of view, and on Christmas Day, from the masterpiece of the Old Testament, Isaiah, how that he portrayed the Lord Jesus in a marvelous detail. So that once for all, you rejoice in the fact that, yes, we have the Messiah. And for those who do not know him, may have the opportunity to see that the Bible is a very logical, a very clear, and a very wonderful book. But also to see that the Holy Spirit is the one who enabled you to understand the Scripture and to apply it to our heart. The first of these series of studies is on the Gospel of John chapter 1. And the verses are very familiar with you, verses 1 to 5, one of the most familiar verses of the Scriptures. And John's Gospel is very different than the other Gospels. The others give you records, but John is written with something in mind. If you go to John 20, just for a moment, to John 20, verse 30 and verse 31, you will find in John 20, verse 30 and 31, that there the Bible tell us in a marvelous way why the Apostle John writes the gospel. The Bible really is clear and is beautiful. It said, now Jesus performed many other miracles. The King James says signs, and signs is the word for miracles. Jesus performed many other miracles in the presence of the disciples, or actually in the presence of those who follow him, which are not recorded in this book. They are not in the gospel. But now, look the purpose why the seven miracles of Jesus in the Gospel of John are written. Verse 31. But these are recorded so that you may believe. God wants you to believe. God wants you not just to be informed. The church is not a college where you are informed and then you apply the knowledge and you work. The church is the house of prayer, the house of the living God. And when you come to church, I hope when you left the church, you believe something different than what you believed before, something other. That you may believe. Believe what? That Jesus, and use a Greek word for the Hebrew, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. When you read the word Christ, Christos in Greek, is Messiah in Hebrew. That Jesus is the Messiah. Isn't it fantastic? The Son of God. And by believing in him, ye may have life. Now that's the purpose. And that's the purpose of meeting here this morning. So that we're going to study, learn. Some of us who are believers want to enhance the peace of mind that we are on the right track. And for those who are not believers, I hope they give you a challenge. And my prayer is that God, the Holy Spirit, will enable you to believe. All right, three things I notice here in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, that the apostle talks about Jesus. So my question this morning for you is, who is Jesus? And if you ask this on the street like I did in the Novhila store or in the post office or in McDonald's, you got all kinds of answers, all kinds of answers. And some of the answers are very eloquent. Some of the answers are ignorance of the person of Jesus. But you get a flavor of what people think about Jesus. Now, let's see what John tells us who is Jesus. John is going to give us three basic informations. And I hope to make it as simple as possible. First, he said that Jesus was God. That's number one. And then he said he is the creator. He's going to follow a very logical, you know, John is the logic gospel, very logical thought. He's God, he's the creator, and he's going to tell you why. And then he is the source of two essentials that man cannot provide, life and light. I mean spiritual. You can get life and light in the University of Santa Clara, and then you become Latricia, a doctor in this and doctor in the other. But, you know, so nice to have Tricia with us today. You know, she is working in her fields and so on because she learned in the school. But when the Bible talks about, it's talking about beyond that, above that, your spiritual life. You're not a dog or a monkey like you read in National Geographic. Come on. Look in the mirror. You're better than a monkey. Come on. So let's study together. It's going to be simple, but it's going to be deep. John chapter 1, verse 1. First, he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. You notice that the word Word is in capital because the translators, in the original, they're all capitals, but the translators want to emphasize for you that word. You heard many times is the word logos. Is the expressions of thoughts. So in the beginning was the Word. That's what the Bible said. In the beginning was the Word. Now, how do I know that that refers to Jesus? Well, let's go to the back of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 19, please. If you ever are sad, you lost something, you are depressed, take this pill for you. Read Revelation 19. And after you finish, you will be in the high roof of your home. Revelation chapter 19. And look with me, verse 13. Talking about Jesus, the Bible says, he was clothed with a robe deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, Logos, again. So now I know that John 1:1 is talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, was Jesus. So John said, in the beginning was the Word, was Jesus. Now, secondly, I want to say that that Word is from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of what? I ask myself. In the beginning of what? Well, in the beginning of everything. See, Jesus had a history before he came as a baby. And I can show you maybe 3,000 in the Old Testament. But I want to show you one you are familiar with. You go to Genesis with me in chapter 22. And Let me show you verse 11, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 11. And this will prove that he was there in the beginning. He was active. Genesis chapter 22. And look with me in verse 11. You know this story. Abraham's faith was confirmed in Genesis 22 when he offered his son. And look at in verse 11 what the Bible says. But the angel of the Lord, that's the word Jesus. Whoop. That's the word Jesus. The angel of the Lord. That's the form, the pre-incarnation form of Jesus. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. He intervened in the affairs of people. Jesus was the active person from heaven. He was the one who was the executor. He was the architect of everything God wants to do. And the Holy Spirit is the constructor. He's the contractor. The Holy Spirit is who get things done. You read Genesis 1. God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven. And how did he create? The Holy Spirit, verse 2, is active. He's separating the waters. He's putting things in place. You read Colossians. Jesus said, and he designed the plants and this and the other. You will see it. A perfect harmony, a cooperation and coordination from heaven. Our Christianity is very scientific when you want to see it in that particular way. So here it is. The Word of God, Jesus, was there. All right? Not because we imagine, it's because the Bible says so in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So it's clear. Now, John says that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No lesser than God. You see that? And the Word was God. And that's where the Jehovah Witness get crazy. And that's where the big church in San Francisco, the Unitarian Church across my seminary, was crazy. I always trying to argue with them how ignorant they are of this. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. So God, Jesus was there. And the Word was God, so he acted as God, as in Abraham. He came down and talked to Abraham and said, no, don't kill the son. I have something else. What's Jesus doing? And not only that, the Bible tells us in a very mighty way that he was God. Now, is there any other proof about it? Yes, yes, it is. So let's work together. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 10. All right? And look at Jesus speaking. The Gospel of John chapter 10. And look with me on verse 30. John 10, verse 30. Is there any other information that Jesus is God apart from the deductions of John 1:1? What did he say? I and my Father, what? I want. It's one body, two persons. Like I have one body, I have the person of a pastor and the person of a husband. I have the person who that's a pastor. When I deal with you, I deal as a pastor. When I talk to my wife, I deal as a husband. Same body. Jesus said here, I and my Father are one. But I'm going to show you a very, very more dogmatic proof of this as we look in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Let's go to the second book of the Bible, to the book of Exodus. And Moses needed a little business card to go into Egypt. And he wants to tell Pharaoh that God sent me and here's my business card. So Moses said, what's your name? And God tell him, look at chapter 3 of Exodus. In verse 14, God is going to give a business card to Moses and is going to stamp in the business card his name on it. Now, look, I explained to you last week that his name is sometimes, because of translation, is crunched, but it's very easy. Here it is, verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's the word Yahweh. That word has been modified by the Hebrews in the 900s. By the word Adonai with their vowels, and sounds like this, Jehovah. And the Latins took it in 1120 and established it in 1350, and Calvin accepted it in 1502. And so that word Jehovah came into the Bible, but it's the word I am, okay? So he said clearly here in verse 14, he said, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent me to you. So when you go over there, get the piece of paper and write the word I am, Yahweh. You say, here it is. He sent me. Now look to Jesus in John 8. Let's go to John 8 and take a look to the Lord Jesus. In John 8 and in verse 58, look at what happened. Jesus is in the company of some Jewish people, right here, John 8 in verse 58, all right? And he is going to make a statement that almost cost his life. Look at what he says in verse 58. Jesus said to them, to the Pharisees, if you read verse 56, that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He said to the Pharisees, verse 57, then the Jews said to him, are you not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? They're talking about 3,000 years span. And they said, what are you talking about? Now the statement is going to make is going to confirm that he is God. What's the name of God? I am. All right? Yahweh. Now look at here, verse 58. All right? Look it. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, what did he say? And it's in capital in the King James. Yahweh. Now, if somebody come to you, you are at McDonald's drinking nice cup of coffee with two milk and two sugars, and then you enjoy it, you know, and you take that, and somebody say, hey, how are you? I am is my name. You look on it. See, you're Americans. You are Westerners. You had no idea how the book was written in the culture. Now, look at verse 59. Look at what happened. Then they took up stones to throw at him. Why? Because he said, I'm God. He said, I am. You got it? There is no I am in the Hebrew language. Either when you spoke, you finish speaking, so you pass already. I'm trying to learn Korean and trying to see if they have some of the Hebrew flavor, but it doesn't in that way. But I tell you, in Hebrew, everything past or everything is future. Only one person can say, I am, I am, I am, and that's God. And so it's so beautiful to see that Jesus is God. Not because we dream, not because we invented, not because we follow a confession of faith or certain belief religions. It is because the Bible says so. John 1:1 tells us that Jesus is God. So if you said, what about Muhammad and what about Buddha? They are no God and they do not qualify. And they said, well, you know, we all live together. No, sir, in heaven only the people of God will live together and not the others. The Buddha people will not be there. The Muhammad people, as good as they were, they can be, they cannot be there. Last night, an Indian person told me, you know, the Muhammad religion is not so bad at all. I said, actually, no religion is so bad at all. They're trying to help you to find God, but God already wrote the book. This is how the way you find God. You don't find God through any other religion. You find it through here. The problem, I said, my friend, is that you're trying to find God in your way, and God said, no, you find me in my way. I'm God. You know, great? You and I know it? Wow. If you are depressed, maybe you don't have this, you don't have the other. And hey, if you know God, you got everything you need. All right? Life is no easy. I started working in America in 1965, never stopped yet. But I tell you, life is no easy. But if you have God, you know you can make it. All right. Now, number two, you know he is God. Somebody say, who is Jesus? He's God. Number two, and go back to John Gospel. Let's go back to John Gospel chapter 1. Verse 3 tells us that Jesus is the creator of all things. The Bible says in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, so there is no problem. The two coexist together. Genesis 1:26, remember, when they're going to make the beautiful creation crown mankind, what the Bible said, let us make man. Remember? Genesis 1:26, let us. No, God did not say, I'm going to make man. He said, let us make man. And then Genesis chapter 2 tells you how the formation of the biology and anatomy and so on is done. But now I like verse 3. All things are made through him. Wow, so much money and experimental knowledge to trying to find out how a plant came to be. Where this big monkey came. You know, all things are made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. What that tells me? That tells me that he is the creator. Now, I want you, you are smart people, so you remember what I said at the beginning? He is the Word. Now, what they say here, he's the Creator. Somebody told me, I wonder how the universe was created. Come on. He's the Word. He's the Creator. Let's go back to Genesis 1. 8 times the Bible said that he spoke and things came to be. Look it. You now took a class that takes 7-8 years for people to study. You got it in 2 minutes. Genesis chapter 1. All right? Look at the information the Bible said. Now remember, he is the Word. Okay? He is the Word. You remember that. Okay? And so let's take a good look to Genesis chapter 1. Look at in verse 6. And God said, let us separate the waters from the top, from the bottom, called firmament. Let us make a horizon. God said, that's Jesus, the word, he spoke. He said, separate. Done. Right? Number 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens. God said, nothing was done that somebody in a lab trying to explode something and discover. It was done by the Word of Jesus. He's the Word. All right? Now look at verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. When you have those weeds that are terrible in your backyard, remember, God said, they came out. All right? Now, look in verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament. You like the night? I like the night, the moon. I like full moon. When I young, I went hunting, full moon. You can see clear. Beautiful. Let there be the light. It's just amazing. In verse 14. And divide the day from the night. See? And let them be for signs. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heavens. And God made 2 great lights. People trying to find out how the sun get there. Well, God said, let me there. Don't spend any more of my taxes than anything else. Come on. You see it? Now, let's keep on because God's saying, look here, verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures. And you have the whales and you have all of these fantastic animals. Look, God, how they came in. When we were in Cabo San Lucas for the first time in my life, I was able to be very close to the whales. And man, when they come out, they are big. They're scarier. And then I look on it, and I took pictures. And then I got a metric camera, and I took pictures to measure the body, measure the surface, measure the pressure of the water, call the department there to tell me what pressure of the water is and so on, just to calculate the effort of that animal to get out of the water. I mean, giant, 3 tons. And shoop, say, hi, and go back. He made it. He made it. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man. And the Bible said that was the top of the creation because we can think. We have the ability to say no. Animals do not have it. We have the ability to say, no, I want this, I don't want this. The animals do not have it. It's just amazing. So, the second thing God declares here in John is that Jesus is the Creator. Each time in the opening chapter of Genesis, as we saw it, the Bible said, and God said, the Word was spoken, and it was done, and it's complete. How the universe came, Jesus said it. He is, and I'll show you later on where the Bible clearly said that Jesus really said it. It's just amazing. And I don't want then to wait. Let's go. Colossians 1. I just want to show you that he said, that Genesis 1 is Jesus saying. Colossians 1. And look at verse 15 and verse 16. He talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And now here comes verse 18. For by him all things were created, they are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So he said, Jesus is the one who is speaking in Genesis chapter 1. People say, well, it takes a lot of faith. No, it takes just believe what the Bible said. It's not faith. I'm not creating this. I'm just believing what the Bible said. Now, that's why when you talk to somebody, if they do not have a Bible, do not talk to that person. If they come with a book of history or a Quran or something, say, I cannot talk to you because this is your constitution and this is my constitution. Originally, I was born in Argentina. And when I came to this country, I don't came with the Argentine constitution in my pocket. I had to take the American constitution. And when you come to God, you take his constitution. It's right here. It's called the Bible. And you read it and you accept it. You cannot mix it. All right. Second John declared, he's the creator of all things. Now let's go back to John and verse 4. And let me show you that Jesus is the source of two tremendously essential that we need in our life. Life and light. Look at verse 4. John 1:4. And him was life. And the life was the light of men. And him was life. Nobody gave him life. Life was found in him. Okay? He's the source of life. Nobody shined him life and now he became. He was. And him is life. Life. All right? And then, because he has life, said the Bible, that life of Jesus, that powerful life of Jesus, the self-life of Jesus, became light to mankind. Powerful, don't we? A flashlight that you cannot turn off because it is the source of life. Now, if you don't have a source of light, like a battery, like a flashlight, it's not life because you see, you have to put the batteries on it. When the batteries go off, then there is no more light. But in Jesus, there is no batteries. He's life. Okay? And there is no dischargement. So he can, each time you get to him, he give you light, 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 light. More closer to him, more light, light, light. And the reason why people do not know is because you don't get closer to him. I know this myself. If I'm not reading and praying and asking the Spirit to reveal, I'm without light. It's not the seminary, it's not the doctor's degree, it's the light from above that help us. Brother and sister, you are equal to me. Doesn't matter how many degrees we have. You are one with me because you have life and light from above. You're powerful. So now let's see this. Life. Remember John 20, 31? Look at John 20, 31. These modern things are easy, don't they? They are, the church is going to buy me a big one. All right, hear this. John 20, 31, Jesus now explained why, John explained why he wrote the gospel, and he revealed something. But these are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing what? You may have life. The life of Jesus is not acquired by becoming a member of Bethel Baptist Church and I sign with my beautiful signature and a little diploma say you are a member of my church. That means nothing. It's going to burn at the end. The Bible says here in John chapter 20 and verse 31, very clear, that I wrote this so that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that when you believe in him, that he is God, that he is the provider of God, then you got his life. The life of Jesus is not provided to you by becoming a member of any church in the world. It's by believing what he said in his book. Wow. See, first come life, You cannot have light unless you have life. All right? You have a flashlight. If you have no battery, you have no light. All right? Versus the battery. Life. And you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I don't mean you being a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Catholic, of these. Have you believed that Jesus died for your sin, that his blood covered all your sins forever, and now you are in the presence of God because of him? Have you? Then you have life. If not, you are a dead man or a dead woman. Now, once you have life, then you get light. Go to Matthew with me. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is explaining this. Once you have light, then you have light. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father. Let your light so shine. Now we got light. We are children of God. We have light. Somebody talk to you, you understand right away what the problem is, and you show them in the scripture where the light is. You have light. You want to borrow money, you know what the Bible said. It said that the borrower is a slave of the one who lends you the money, so you don't borrow money. That's the way to do it. All right? And you want to get married, you don't marry with an unbeliever, because the Bible said, what joint has Satan with the believers? So therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18, they tell me, pastor, there's a nice looking girl. I don't care how she walks. I don't care what hair she has. If she's not a believer, you have no life from God in pursuing that. Wow. Man, she's light. Light. Life comes by believing, and when you believe, then you read his book and you get light. I mean, light. This is overwhelming. This is fantastic. This is so overwhelming that I'm really in awe of what everybody could be. But there is a problem. Look at it in John chapter 1, verse 5. There is a problem. And I see this problem in America and in Italy. And in Japan, and Korea, and everywhere. Look at here, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness. Yes, when you stand like Jesus, you shine in McDonald's, you shine in your work, you shine everywhere. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness, what happened? Did not comprehend it. That's why we got problems in America. Not the economy, no. Not the senators or the president or the elected to be president, no. Darkness is ruling the country, and they have no light from God what to do with our country. Darkness is ruling the homes, and they don't know what to do with their homes. Darkness is ruling parenthood, and they don't know what to do with their children. And so darkness, pastor, what happened? Well, John tell us, John chapter 9. I like John because he really is sneaky, and he tell us his stories, and in each story he revealed things. Look at John chapter 9, and look at verse 1. Remember the blind man? The story is not so much about the blind man as when he was blind. Look at here. 9:1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind. And John added, was blind from birth. Did you got it? That's a historical story with a spiritual meaning. He was blind from birth. And when you and I were born, we were blind about God. Completely blind. Completely blind. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. And look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you got it? The reason why you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is because God overruled the darkness of your heart and now you have light. Wow. 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 It is possible for people to be saved. It is possible for people to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, to know Him, and to be able to say, yeah, He is what I need in life. Usually what I need is a job, what I need is a wife, a husband, what I need is this, what I need is the other, and so on. And nobody thinks that what we need is the light of God so that we can understand this book. Can we pray that the Holy Spirit will enlighten me, you and I, as a Lord, I'm reading the scripture, give me light, I want to understand it, I want to be yours. Don't read the scripture and put it away and now drink a cup of coffee. Drink the scripture alone. And face God alone. Imagine God sitting with you and you start crying already. Like I do in my office. And people think maybe if you open the door, think I'm maybe crazy. But you know, it's such a feeling to be in the presence of the powerful God. And He said, He shined His light on me. Who is me? Gabriel Otero, a guy, soccer player from Argentina. And God shined His light upon me. Now I owe Him my life. Now I owe Him whatever I am. Do you? Have you ever thought that we try to solve all the problems. And if you are married, have children, like the cons, man, there's a lot of problems. You know what I mean? They're taken care of. It's beautiful. He's a good father. Remember, Ken was the same. And so people have a lot of children. My parents were 17. So imagine. But when you have God, I never forgot my grandmother when my uncles went to work. She put her hands on them and she said, Lord, watch my boys. And she cried. And I was 4 or 5 years old. And I don't understand what she said, but now I do. That was her safety. An Arab lady converted to the gospel and now in fire with the Lord Jesus. And she have now life and light. And so the light is only God can watch my boys. Lord, they're going to study. Let them honor you. Let them work hard. Let them show the community that they are children of the living God. We need to pray that for our children. We need to make all our children be doctors, engineers, or garbage collectors, whatever they want to be. But the main thing is that they be men and women of God, that they shine in this country, and they show that Jesus is God in their heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is God. The Lord, this is not theology, this is reality. And He is God in my life. And I pray, O God, that He be God in the life of many. And for those who believe not, Lord, I pray for your mercy. That their life be touched by the presence of the living God. That the light that comes from heaven, the life that comes from heaven, will come into their life. And now they have light. And they believe. Oh God, we need America back to you. We need our church with people who experience the power of the Spirit in your life. We got you. Thank you for your light. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive. where